Continuing our series on the miracles and wonders, if you will turn to Exodus chapter 2, and here we see the miracle and wonder of the birth of Moses and what took place thereafter to preserve him, to protect him. Let's get into it here in Exodus chapter 2. And it went out a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly man, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away, and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child, and nursed it, and the child grew. And she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." The word Moses, or name Moses, means "that is drawn out." So there you have the reason he was named that, and the miraculous events all put right into play. Because the situation that you had is that there in Egypt, the current Pharaoh that was there had put out a decree saying that they were supposed to kill all the newborn male babies of the children of Israel. They had become so populated that the Egyptians were afraid that the Israelites were going to, or the Hebrews, as they were known at this time, were going to be so populated that they would take over Egypt. So they wanted to do this genocide move. But the Lord put into play these events to fall right into place to preserve Moses, because he had a particular task laid out for Moses to do. And he does that task. Now we know through the history that Moses gets in a little bit of trouble for striking one of the taskmasters, and he died because he was beaten on an Egyptian worker. And Moses flees. And while he's in the area that he fled to, we see chapter 3 unfold. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, "I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt." And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover," he said, "I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the afflictions of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Interesting response that Moses has here. It's a response that a lot of people suffer from, the same reaction, and that is that you don't think you're good enough or adequate enough to be a servant to the Lord in any extreme situations. But we got to know, no matter what the situation is, the Lord can give you what you need to do the task that He has set before you to do. Don't base it upon yourself and what you think you can do with your abilities. You need to base it on the abilities of God, which are unlimited. Moses had not yet comprehended that, and he clearly said, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? In verse 12, And he said, Certainly I will be with thee. See, that's the key, that God is with us when He gives us a task to do, no matter how overwhelming the task is. If it's the will of the Lord, He will give you what you need, and He will be there with you all the way through it. And that is very encouraging and very comforting. And we continue here and see how Moses still didn't quite get it for a while. And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is thy name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. So he's been given this great commission, this great opportunity to be able to be the leader of the children of Israel out of bondage, out of the land of Egypt, and be able to go into the promised land, into the area flowing with milk and honey, as it says here. Beautiful place, and prepared for them. Prosperous area. Blessings available to them if they will listen up, follow the guidelines the Lord gives them, and do what they are supposed to do. Now we know that Moses has been given this task to do this. He goes to Pharaoh. Pharaoh denies them the chance to be able to go out, even to just go out for the 3 days journey and to worship the Lord. He wasn't even willing to let them do that, because he was afraid if he let them go out at all, they would just keep going. But the Lord brings the plagues and the challenges and the wonders, as he calls them, upon the land. And they resist over and over. All right, let's go ahead and keep going with this account here of what Moses went through and what he encountered with the resistance from Pharaoh. But first we see how Moses is still a little bit resistant to take on this challenge. As we see in chapter 4, reads, "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground. And it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee." He's saying, display that, show that to those doubting folks. A little bit of a miracle there. Definitely a wondrous thing. In verse 6, "And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, Put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh." These little displays, these little miracles, were helping to build the confidence of Moses. As it continues, "And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river, and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Hath not I the Lord?" An excellent point the Lord is telling Moses here, as well as telling all of us. The one who spoke everything into existence gives us an opportunity to do a particular task. We need to have the confidence in the ability of Him rather than ability of ourselves, just as He's displaying here. Trust in the Lord, because He will never leave you. He will see you through whatever He sets before you to accomplish. Verse 12, Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him who thou wilt send. See, he's still saying, send somebody else. Moses still ain't getting it. Even after all the things he's already seen, it's showing the lack of faith and of trust that Moses started out with. But note the reaction of the Lord. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. Thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. Even though the Lord was angry with Moses, and could have afflicted Moses justifiably, said, well, fine, if you're not going to do the task I have available for you, then what good are you to me? And just took him out. But no, he gave him some support. He gave him the opportunity to work side by side with his brother Aaron in this task, to help Moses, give Moses a little bit of a boost, a little bit of confidence, knowing that teaming up together, that they might be able to do this task. Because Moses still doubted in his own abilities. As it continues, verse 18, And Moses went and returned to Jethro his father-in-law, and said unto him, Let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said unto Moses, Go in peace. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, Go return unto Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. And Moses took his wife and his sons, and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said unto Moses, When thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand, but I will harden his heart, that he should not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, Let my son go, that he may serve me, and if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Note, the Lord's letting him know right from the very beginning of this one judgment that could come upon them for denying the will of the Lord, that the firstborn would die if they did not yield to the demand of the Lord. All right, let's jump on over to verse 29, and we see here where Moses hooks up with Aaron. It reads, And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. A good reaction by the people. They believed. They saw it. They yielded, and they believed, which was awesome that they would do that. Now we know that they are given the task to go speak to Pharaoh. And let's look what happens now in chapter 5. And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Note the arrogance that Pharaoh had, because he did not know the Lord. He did not trust the Lord. He's saying, well, who is your God to me? Because he thought that he was the most powerful one around, in control of everything, the one that can make all the decisions, so he wasn't going to yield to that. And he said, The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. And the king of Egypt said unto them, Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto your burdens? The king of Egypt saying, Well, I've got all y'all doing a job. I'm more interested in this job than pleasing your Lord. Therefore, get back to work. Pharaoh said, Behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens. And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, Ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick, as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tail of the bricks which they did make hitherto, ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, Let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let there more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words. See, Pharaoh's figuring, well, we'll shut you up by giving you a whole lot more work to do, and make it harder and a bigger burden, so that they'd be so busy doing the work that they wouldn't have time to be thinking about serving the Lord. Isn't it interesting how the devil still uses this today? That he will so overburden the Christians in their secular world job that they don't have time to go to church, and pile more and more on them. Well, no, you can't have off Sunday. We're busy on Sundays. You got to be here. You got to do this. Well, no, you can't go Wednesday night because we got overtime for you to work. More and more burdens put upon them, more and more pulling them away from serving the Lord. Just like what was going on all the way back there in Egypt is still going on today. The devil using the same tactics to keep the people from serving the Lord. Let's continue here in verse 10. And the taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake to the people, saying, Thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye, get ye straw where ye find it. Yet not aught of your work shall be diminished. In other words, even though I'm adding more work to you, you still got to produce the same amount in the end, as far as the number of brick that he expected them to produce. Even though they made it harder for them to produce them, they needed to keep it up the tally. So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters hasted them, saying, Fulfill your works, your daily task, as when there was straw. And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten, and demanded, Wherefore have ye not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today as heretofore? Like, why aren't you keeping up the tally? Even though they're putting more burden on them, making it harder for them to keep that tally up. Verse 15, Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, Wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servants? There is no straw given unto thy servants, and they say to us, Make brick. And behold, thy servants are beaten, but the fault is in thine own people. But he said, Ye are idle, ye are idle. Therefore ye say, Let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord. Go therefore now and work, For there shall no straw be given you, yet shall ye deliver the town of bricks. And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case. After it was said, ye shall not diminish aught from your bricks of your daily task. And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our Savior to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. And Moses returned unto the Lord, and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. Note, one little thing starts going wrong, this little extra burden upon them, a little bit of a challenge, a little bit of an obstacle, and they cave. Doubts start coming in. Like, Lord, why have you put this upon us? It's too heavy a load to carry, is what they were proclaiming. Instead of going forward in faith, knowing it's not much longer and they're going to be delivered. Not worry about it. If you're in the will of the Lord, keep on keeping on the path, because the Lord's going to help them through it. Didn't do that. But as we continue through this amazing account of the events that took place back there in Egypt, we can see how the Lord works in this and how He performs miracles and wonders. And we'll go into this a little bit further next time. But the big point we want to make here is that the Lord can come to us in subtle ways as well as in these miraculous ways, and communicate to us in wondrous ways to present to us an opportunity to be able to serve Him, and He will give us exactly what we need to do the task. But within that may be challenges to test your perseverance, to test your courage, to test your abilities as well within it. Are you willing and able to do what the Lord has set for you to do? As long as you are willing, you will be able, because the Lord will give you the ability. That's what we need to learn from this. We'll pick it back up as this account continues next time, but let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you, oh, so much for these historical records that you have preserved for us, the events that took place so long ago that yet we can still learn from today, to see how when you set a challenge before us, when you set an obstacle before us, when you set an opportunity before us, that we need to take it boldly and go do that task, knowing that you're going to be right there with us. No matter how challenging it may seem, you're going to be right there with us. We thank you, oh, so much for that. And that clearly is a wondrous miracle. We thank you as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.